We are still in Matthew chapter 5. If you've got your Bible, just slide it open there and keep it open there. As a leadership, we've got a sense we're probably going to stay in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 over the next several weeks, even when we come to the end of the traditional Beatitudes. There's a lot of stuff in there that Jesus is saying, which is absolutely on point for where our church should be or needs to be today. So if you're in Matthew chapter 5, just begin to look at that this morning. Scripture says, on seeing the crowd, Jesus goes up to the mountainside. And Scripture says, when he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And Jesus opened up his mouth, we listen then, and taught them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then it gets even more staggering, his words. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown or obtain or receive mercy. And I'm excited that next week Danny will share, and blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Pastor Debbie's going to come. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Wow. These words that we are hearing are staggering. For many would say they are unrealistic for the individual today. Why is that the case? Because these words are in direct conflict with worldviews. And although we are in the world, hallelujah, we're not of the world. Although we've called to live in it, we don't have to be part of the scheme of things regarding this world. So when we look at the Beatitudes, you will discover it requires an implementation to be a disciple or to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if we think for one little moment that any of this is going to be easy, it is not. Even for this one attitude of discipleship within this beatitude that we have come to, it is huge. It is monumental. It is massive for us today if we can get our lives around these biblical truths. You see, when we see blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, we sometimes see these lines as throwaway lines. A list in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and we don't adhere completely to the fact that Jesus has just opened his mouth to his closest and to those who would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying through God's Son. See, in this particular beatitude, we're beginning to understand something a bit deeper. That when someone on purpose or not on purpose does something to me, I have a gut instinct for justice. And sometimes that can be very swift. And sometimes that could be perhaps very immediate, depending where I am in Christ at that time. And this is how it plays out in the world today. We justify these things in our minds as justice. Can I tell you something? It's often more like revenge. Often more like revenge. And if we are honest, and let's be honest today here at church, at times my actions or our actions can actually be worse than the actual wrong that has been done to us. Are you hearing this? However, when you and I happen to be the ones in the wrong. We do not want justice. No. What do we want? We want mercy. We want forgiveness. After all, everyone makes mistakes. But understand this, if I'm reading Jesus' words clearly, for you and I to receive mercy from God, we must be willing first to give it. To give it. We cannot go to God seeking mercy when you and I have deliberately sinned against Him and refused to give mercy to others, whether or not they actually ask for it. And when you consider forgiving the people who have hurt you, you must always consider how much Jesus has actually forgiven you and I. It comes into play. We do not at any level, hear me now, church, we do not at any level deserve His love, and there's nothing that we can do to cause us to earn it. Nothing at all. Jesus forgave me, hallelujah, and Jesus forgave you because He is a merciful and gracious God, amen. It really is this simple. And it's not really that difficult. Jesus says those who are merciful will receive mercy. It plays out like that. Now, let's just line this up a little bit with Scripture from Matthew 18. We know the parable that Jesus told about mercy in Matthew 18, verse 23. The story goes, a servant who owed his king a debt that he could not repay. And the king, his lord, showed him mercy and forgave him his debt. But that same servant had a fellow servant who owed him money. In fact, just 1% of the debt he himself had. So when that servant could not pay him back, he put that servant in prison. Now when his master, who had forgiven him 100 times more than this, heard this, he labeled him as wicked for his actions and sent him to jail to be tortured. Wow. You see, the principle is this. Again, if you want mercy and if you want forgiveness from God and others, you better be willing to give it out of the same for far less. And yet, I understand completely, this is an incredibly hard concept for us to get our heads around. I understand it myself. Why is this? Because we have an emotional response to the stress that you and I are operating under. And so what do we have to do as children of God? Well, listen to this. For this to be implemented, for this to play out in your life, it takes a building up of spiritual muscles to gain strength in difficult situations. Why is that? Because being merciful is actually also about strength, not weakness. The world we're living in today, the world teaches us to stand up for ourselves. That's okay. And when crossed, to take immediate action to put others off from messing with you and I in the future. Now, how many conversations take place when someone says, if I was you, well, you're not me. But if I was you and they did that to me, I would do this and that and such. When do they ever say, I would show them mercy and forgive them? You see, if you want to be a great in the kingdom of God, this is what it takes to be great. You have to give mercy, you have to show mercy, and if you don't, you're going to stand in the place of mediocrity as a child of God. Where do you want to be in the kingdom? Recognize for your greatness as a mercy giver or a forgiver of those who have hurt you and hurt you deliberately at different times in your life. What did they don't say? They never say, show them mercy, show them forgiveness. We don't recommend having mercy on someone. What do we demand? We demand compensation because you and I have been wronged. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about this? Because here's the thing. I cannot fix at any level what has happened to you. At no level can I fix you. I know who can fix you, but that depends on your surrendering completely to Him and being obedient. There is true strength that rests, you see, within those who are merciful, that the world will never comprehend, that this world will never understand. It takes an incredibly strong person to forgive, and an even stronger person to wipe that slate clean. Are you hearing this today? Particularly, and even so, when the other person might not deserve it. But the person, now hear this, the person who is merciful understands that it's not about the other party, it is about them, and it is about their relationship with God. People will come into my office. They don't come into my office much more because they know what's going to happen. People in days gone by would often come in to see me, and they want to tell me how they've been wronged. And I would let them talk for 5 or 10 minutes about how they'd been wronged and all the stuff that went on in the story. As a pastor, you must have the attitude of Jesus. This is the only way we get this right. It's the only way it works. There's an expectation that we are going to fix what happened. We are going to fix the person who has wronged you. But if you read Scripture properly, this has actually got nothing to do with who's hurt you, or who's wronged you, or who's disappointed you. This is about what you're going to do. This is about, have you inherited a life of forgiveness because you've been forgiven? Have you adopted a merciful heart because you have received mercy? So our approach to these things are, well, here's the thing, I am so sorry that all of this has happened to you and it's been painful, but I can't go back into your past and dig it up and repair it. But what we can do is, we can dig out the stuff in your life, we can inject you with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can see you rise up as a man or woman of God and leave the office or leave the coffee shop change with a different attitude. What are we going to do? It's very simple. What are we going to do? How are we going to react? How are we going to respond? People are going to walk into churches and sit behind you who've hurt you. What are you going to do? Will you have the attitude of Jesus, or will it be all about, I'm hurt? And I am not minimizing pain and hurt on any level whatsoever. I understand that. But what separates the man of God or the woman of God is adopting the words of Jesus, implementing them and living them out, being different. This is what the Beatitudes are actually all about, being different. Being a man who will make a difference, make an impact. Being a woman who will make a difference, make an impact. But what often happens is, in the world today, we draw a bunch of folk into our scenario of disappointment and hurt. And it achieves nothing but more hurt and more problems and more pain. To understand what Jesus was saying, hey, this morning, let's do it this way. Let's look at the Greek words for merciful and mercy. Merciful in Greek is eleemon. It's the word eleemon, and that describes someone who is not just compassionate, but actively a doer, actively compassionate. Someone who is actually filled with mercy and then actually gives it or expresses it. It oozes out of their life like the Holy Spirit oozes or is poured into our life. They cannot help. No matter what has happened to them, they have grace for the situation. They have mercy for the situation, but they show it. That's kind of like me. That's the way I want to live my life. I don't just want to hear words. I want to actively do something with my life. I want it to be seen even in my lowest disappointment. I want Christ to shine. We sung it today. I want Christ to shine out of my life today. Then you go on, look a little bit further. In the Old Testament, the word is chesed. But there's a word before that, the Greek word for mercy, which is elio. Okay? It means to have compassion or pity or mercy on. It describes words or actions specifically given to us by divine grace. And in the Old Testament, the word mercy is chesed. And we find that word hundreds of times throughout the Word of God. Mercy is also translated, watch this now, as loving kindness. Beautiful. As loving kindness or even steadfast love. You see, our language cannot capture this rich Hebrew word in a single word. Now, my Bible dictionary, which is Vine's Expository Dictionary of Bible Words, it's a good one. I recommend that one. I'm just putting it out there. Identifies three basic meanings of the word in there. The three words. Listen to this. Strength, steadfastness, and love. Strength, steadfastness, and love. And the word was this morning. It's not a feeling. It's not a sentimental love either, this. This is God's covenant towards us. This is a covenant that goes beyond promise or obligation. The word refers to the relationship. Now stay with me here. This word refers to the relationship between God, Yahweh, and his people. Now hear this today. The weaker party seeks the protection and blessing of the patron and protector, but he may not lay absolute claim to it. The stronger party here remains committed completely to the promise, but retains within this the freedom, especially with regard to the manner in which he will implement those promises. Chesed implies personal involvement and commitment in a relationship beyond the rule of law. Hallelujah. And I love that. And I wonder for us today, do some of us or all of us need to catch this blessing? This promise. Are we catching the depth of God's love for you and desire to pour it out upon you this very morning? Are you catching God's love, God's loving kindness, God's mercy towards us carried in the single Hebrew word? And it is a love that manifests itself in doing things for us. This is a love that is marked by complete and total unfathomable kindness. God, we sung it this morning, God is not only good, but God is good and kind towards you. And me for that matter. Here's a great quote I read this week. Mercy is forgiveness soaked in the love of God. I love that. The mercy of the Lord never ends. Lamentations chapter 3. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are what? New when? Every morning, there's not a gap, not a break. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So dear ones, today, think about our responses when you and I are the ones doing wrong. And we must come clean before the Lord. When we stand before him, we desire mercy, not justice. We are guilty and deserve the punishment that you and I should receive. But because we have, hallelujah, been merciful to others, God then lavishes grace and mercy upon his children. He has compassion on us when we least deserve it, because we have shown that same compassion to others. You see, biblically, mercy and grace, they go hand in hand. It is said, grace is what saves you. Mercy is what sustains you. That's how it plays out. Mercy offers relief from punishment. Grace often pardons from the crime. And just as Jesus, in the Word of God, was love incarnate, He was mercy incarnate. Hallelujah. And the ultimate outcome of His mercy was the cross. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And because you have already been forgiven of all of your sins and set free, then we must forgive others by becoming so transparent that His mercy and His grace will radiate through every single aspect of our life. You are never to be a giver of condemnation, but always a giver of mercy as a child of God. Hallelujah. And mercy, listen to this. Mercy is more than forgiveness and restitution of relationships where you have felt slighted in the past. Hear this. Mercy is meeting the needs of others wherever their needs may be. Wherever. It is whatever situation they find themselves in. It's not simply feeling compassion, but showing compassion, not only sympathizing, but offering a helping hand at the same time. So mercy is distinctly different from forgiveness, because God is merciful to us even when you don't sin, just as you can be merciful to those who have never ever done anything against you. God's mercy doesn't just forgive your failures, hallelujah. God's mercy doesn't just forgive your faults, but reaches deep into every single one of your weaknesses and every single one of your needs. His attitude towards you and I is to be merciful. And I wonder if we've adopted that same attitude. See, the true character of mercy is actually in giving. It's in giving, giving compassion. It's in giving help. It's in giving time. It's in giving money. It's giving yourself. It's giving forgiveness. This is how it plays out. If your desire is to brightly reflect the glory of God in your life, and I hope it is, and become more and more like Him and then reflect His glory even more, you must never give up in showing the mercy of God that you have been given. If you truly love God, listen to this, you prove it through the mercy that you give to others. You are never, never more like your Heavenly Father than when you are showing mercy to a certain person who has perhaps slighted you or hurt you. Never more like Jesus. And Jesus reminds us in the parable of the sheep and the goats, says, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." And as we come to wind this down today, folks, let us consider the revelation of the prophet Micah in God's rich mercies. Now, we know Micah was the prophet in the time of Isaiah, and both served the Lord in the southern kingdom, that's Judah. Isaiah prophesied in the king's court, and Micah humbly spoke unto the ordinary people. Micah prophesied against immorality, social injustices, and the oppression of the poor by the rich and powerful. Now, if you look at the word of God in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 and 8, Micah was answering the question of the people. The question was this: With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? And the prophet responded, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" Hallelujah. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You see, these are the qualities that God delights in his people. If you go into Micah chapter 7, it reads from verse 18, "Who is a God like you, who pardons sins and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot, hurl all our iniquities in the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob, show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago." And so the paraphrase for today's beatitude is this: blessed are those who show mercy through forgiveness, kindness, and compassion, for they shall receive mercy. Would you bow your heads with me today? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so very much, that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's special favor that you have been saved." Hallelujah. "For he raised us from the dead along with Jesus, and we are seated with him in heavenly realms, all because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so God can always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness towards us, as shown in all he's done for us through Christ Jesus." So I wonder who amongst us today has this word been for? Who amongst us today needed to hear this beatitude, perhaps more than certain other ones we've heard in weeks gone by? Who amongst us as a child of God has been wronged, slighted, hurt, harmed? Who amongst us still harbors that spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness? Well, you've had the opportunity to be that merciful person, but you have withheld mercy. You've withheld grace. This is a life lesson. I have said this already. If you want to be great in the kingdom, your vision, your desire is to be like Jesus. When Jesus spoke every one of these beatitudes, it's because he had lived them and was living them. He was already in the reward of the beatitude in all its fullness. It's vitally important if you want to move on from where you are as a child of God, you implement and embrace this word today. No matter how problematic that may be, no matter how painful that has been for you, and you've sat on it. And I stand as a man who's been slighted. I stand as a man who's been hurt. I also stand as a man who has hurt and who has slighted. So I understand both sides of the fence here. But I just sense that the Spirit of God wants to touch you today. And I know this is hard. I know, again, this is when pride gets in the way of all these situations in our lives, when God is wooing you and saying, "Hey, today I want to set you free from that. I want to strengthen you so you can act on that and move on that and be free from that." So would you stand with me today? And here's what I'll say, because this is tough. I always believe that God operates when we respond. Always. Always responds. And you can just remain where you are and you can kind of deal with things there, and that's fine. But if you really would like someone to pray over you today, because you've been stuck, an admission, I have been stuck in this thing, this issue, this problem, this unmerciful spirit has bound me. And when I see things or see people or things happen, it triggers. I tell you a truth today. Jesus sets us free from that. He releases us from that and actually gives us a heart of love. And we have seen things in days gone by when people who disagreed and bickered for years became best friends. Who once were enemies found love with each other. That's how the Spirit moves. That's how God moves. So I'm going to pray, then as we sing today, if you feel, you know, I really need, I need the pastors and leaders to stand with me. I need strength to win this battle. You come to the front. You come to the altar. You let God, the Spirit, touch you today. Trust God, not me. I can't do this, but He can. He has abilities and strength and power to equip and bless and change that I am craving for my own life. But He has them in place. So Father, today I praise You for Your great mercy. And I thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I thank You for shining Your light into my heart, giving me the gift of eternal life. And I praise You for Your steadfast love. And I praise You for Your faithfulness to me. And Lord, forgive me. Lord, I say this openly. Forgive me for the many times I come to You in prayer, forgetting the mercy You've already shown me. Lord, renew in my heart a deep sense of gratitude for the forgiveness that I have in Christ Jesus. Forgive me for all the times that I withhold compassion and forgiveness from others. Would You work, Lord, in my heart? Make me more like You. Jesus, I pray. And Lord, give me the grace I need to see the people in my life through Your eyes, not my eyes. Pour out Your compassion into my heart, Lord, I pray, so that I might reflect it to others today. Guide my feet in the way of peace and everlasting peace. Grant steadfast love and loving kindness and pour it into us and lavish it upon us and soak us with us today, that we would not be resentful, but we would be a people of mercy. So as we worship today, you can, like I say, you can deal with this if you think where you are, but I would encourage you greatly, greatly, to step out from where you are. Let our team bless you and pray with you. We won't dwell long. We'll just let God do His work. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. So if it's for you, God bless you, you come. If it's not, God bless you all the same. And He loves you nonetheless. So be blessed as we sing, Peter.